o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Much like it was in 2010. An upgrade. Joining us now. I just said that because I know he's in his car. And he's already put in requests on topics, at least for the first segment, as he drives to the old ball field. Tausch, thanks for tuning in. Your good friend and your successor at right tackle, Brian Bulaga, joins us for the 11 o'clock hour. Do I have to call you doctor like Homer does, since you're doing an entire hour with us, but not a full 3 hours like you usually do when you have to fill in for Tausch?
No, you don't have. I mean, you know, Homer came up with that, and he's riding with him because he, you know, he's like, everyone's got to have a nickname on here. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, just then you go with it. You go with the doctor of football, although I don't really believe that I am. I think a lot of people do what I do after Packers games. You know, they watch the film, they go through specific plays, they break it down. I mean, there's a lot of people on Twitter that do it. Now, I'm not trying to come off as a football snob. A lot of them, they know what they're looking at, but they don't know what they're looking at, so to speak, if
well
that makes
said.
Sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So, now that I'm out of the game and I see people doing it and I see them trying to learn, and because when I was playing, people would say stuff on Twitter. I'd be like, you're a knucklehead. You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm moving on from you. I don't even want to read this. Now that I'm out of the game and I look at what people are saying now and I'm out of what's being shown on tape, and I can kind of look at it from not a fan point of view, but more of a, you know, a fan that did play in the same exact scheme that we're looking at on, you know, on
right.
film. You know, I can appreciate what people are trying to do or what they're looking at and trying to understand and explain to other people who really don't know the ins and outs of what happens every play, right? Like, they see Jordan Love get the ball, they see Wicks catch it, and they see him run. And, like, that's, like, you know, that was
pretty
a good play,
description,
right?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
that's
and, like, and that's a great play. That's a winner. But
so,
there's so much more that goes into it.
This is a really good topic. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, because Lord knows I know how that feels, because it happens to me all the time with the other guy that's on this show. But I want to save this because he had a couple of requests for you filling in during the, just because we're, let's be honest, the show is for everyone, right? We are here to try. I try to please everyone. I know I can't, but I try to, right? People say, hey, you don't talk enough Bucks. Hey, we get Justin Garcia on. We talk Bucks. Hey, you don't talk enough Brewers. Well, we got Jeff Levering, or we get Sophia Minard. We do it. In this instance, though, the request comes from Tausch. So I do want to get into the film breakdown, because one of the things that you know about me is that I would watch the games afterward. Say, oh, I don't know, that game in Seattle where you had your lunch taken from you by Bruce Irvin, right? I would talk to you then about what I saw, but a key component of that conversation was talking to you to understand. Not just, oh, I know exactly what happened. So I want to get into that. But before we can, you're Mr. Soccer. I mean, at least compared to Tausch and me, you're Mr. Soccer, right? You've coached Declan's teams. You have watched. You have a favorite team. What is it? Tottenham Hotspur. That's your favorite, right?
Oh, good.
Gotcha. Man City is your team.
Yep.
So you're a soccer guy. And so Tausch brought this up. And again, I can't refute it. And we're hoping that you can either refute it and explain it to us, because we're compared to you soccer idiots, or you'll agree with us and it'll have a lot more respectability because you're a soccer guy. What's with the extra time, man? Like, basketball's got a clock and a shot clock. Baseball now has a pitch clock. We obviously know you play in the NFL for more than a decade. You're familiar with the clock operation there. What's the deal with soccer and the clock?
Yeah, so, I mean, extra time, and it took me a little while to learn what it was, too, because, you know, 45-minute halves, blow the whistle, let's move on. But then you see another number pop up on the clock, and there's the extra time. And, And obviously, now that since the last World Cup, they've really, when they get into these competitions, they've really been adding a bunch of extra time. All the little stoppages for fouls, faking injuries, things like that, what that guys do just to waste time, that all gets added up and put on the end of each half. So last World Cup, I mean, there were some added extra, some extra time on at the end of halves. There were like 9-10 minutes, and right, guys are playing 10 extra minutes. And that's a little absurd to me, right? Like, I think the most there should ever be, if there's like actual injuries where guys, like you saw in the U.S. game, get boarded off and carried off on a, you know, stretcher, essentially.
Right.
You know, you got to add the appropriate time for stoppage of play. So at the end of that half, the first half of that U.S.-Uruguay game, there was only 5 minutes. That was inappropriate because that thing alone, that injury alone took 5 minutes. So what should have been added on that in that half was at least 9 to 10 minutes of extra time. And then there were other injuries and substitutions throughout that half that caused that to be. But sometimes I feel like I'm watching a game, and if it's a close, good game, they're just adding 5 extra minutes just to continue the game on to give the other team, you know, because people are enjoying it. Like, I really feel that way. Like, I'll be watching a game, there'll be no stoppages, and then all of a sudden, 5 extra minutes, and you're like, from where? Where did 5 extra minutes come from?
What? So,
I feel like it's just, I don't even know truly who, like, they claim the fourth official keeps it, the guy on the sideline.
So there's a guy with a little notepad writing down all these little, like all right, there's 10 seconds here, here's 25 seconds here.
I think it's a stopwatch, and he's the guy that's in between the two coaches, you know, that's on the sideline. There's always a fourth official, and I think he keeps the time and then relays that to the ref on the field. May hold the little board up, and it shows how many minutes are left. I think he does it, but man, I think he's so busy like trying to control coaches on the sidelines that he's losing track of how much extra time is actually should be added or isn't added. Sometimes I feel like I watch the game and he makes up how much added time there should be. I mean, there's really no rhyme or reason to it. And it was that U.S. game, that first half, really made me like question what's going on. Like, what really is going on with the extra time? Because you're right. It is absurd at times. I will agree with you on that.
So here's the part that I don't understand. If they're keeping track of it anyway, why can't we keep track of it as it happens? Why it's so hard to just do it like there's stoppages on an NBA game when the ball goes out of bounds or whatever? Like, I understand we don't need to stop the clock in a soccer game for a throw-in, right? But even something like a corner kick, like it takes a little while for everybody to get set up, right? Like that strikes me as kind of like an incomplete pass in the final 2 minutes. Like that should stop the clock, and then when the corner kicker raises his or her hand to kick the corner kick, then we start the clock again. Like, I understand they rush to get the throw-ins, right? Sydney's team does the same thing. Like, you want to be quick right away. Go retrieve the ball and get the ball back in play. Get it. So we don't need to stop the clock. But all this other nonsense, you can't have a – it's not that hard. Just get Jerry Mortel out of the Lambeau Field press box. He doesn't have that much going on. He only does 9-10 games a year, and he can handle the clock.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I agree. Like, there, you know, and I'm sure the soccer purists that have been fans way longer than me are probably like, you never stop the clock in soccer. It's a running clock. It's been that way since the beginning of the sport. I get that. I understand that. Like, and part of the extra time, I feel like, is kind of like a buildup, right? Like, how much extra time is going to get, especially in the second half of games, if a team is tied or they're down one, and they raise the video board, and there's 8 minutes left, and the home crowd or away crowd of the team that's losing goes nuts because they have that much extra time to try to score an equalizer or a winner. And it's the anticipation, I feel like, that people love.
Right.
And the uncertainty of it, I think people also enjoy. And that's why people I think, are so against VAR and things of that nature because it takes the human element out of the game, right? Like it slows it down. It takes the human element out of it. You know, we've seen some offside calls, especially in the U.S. game. It should have been offsides. It wasn't offside. There was another offside in a game in the Euros with Denmark and Germany that it shouldn't have been offsides. It was called off. Like, so there's a lot of things that people like the human element about it that keep it going and keep it, you know, the extra time bitten and the purity of the game going. But I don't have those answers. I wish I did because you think they'd be able to do it, right? Like, stop the clock. There's an injury that is more than a guy rolling around the ground and faking it, right? Like, which happens.
But even that, 10 times you can stop for that too, right? Even if it takes 20 seconds for him to stop faking and suddenly miraculously be healed.
Yeah, you could. You certainly could. I mean, listen, especially with technology, it's pretty easy to do. Like, the ball stops rolling, all these things got microchips in it automatically to the clock. Like, shuts it down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's there's a lot of things they could do, but, you know, it is, you know, what is it, the oldest game? Like, obviously, maybe golf and soccer are, like, the world's oldest games. Like, there's certain things that are just never going to change.
Yeah.
Like, it's just never going to change.
So, one last thing on this, because Tausch is already out of his car and stopped listening. As a fan, bothered or okay with the clock type management, and if you were, let's put you in the role of what's that guy, Hoglund, the guy that looks like Clay Matthews?
Oh, Hoglund, yeah, Erling Haaland.
All right, if let's put you in that spot. Suddenly, God has given you soccer talent instead of your short arm blocking talent in the NFL. As a player, would this be, as a fan and as a player, would your answers be different on how you feel about the clock management of soccer?
I'm sure. Like I am sure as players they are frustrated about it because there isn't really a definitive way to judge extra time, right? Like, I'm sure they're frustrated about it. Like, they think there's going to be a bunch of extra time and they show 2 minutes and they're all looking around like, 2 minutes? Like, play's been stopped for like 7 or 8 minutes throughout this half. Like, what do you mean we only have 2 minutes? And then, I mean, as a fan, I like the way it is right now. I like the anticipation of it. I like the unknown. I've grown to love the sport and watching it and come to appreciate it. But as a player, I'm sure that they have major issues with it, as every professional sports player has major issues with things within their own game, right? Like, we have tons of issues with the way, you know, especially playing in the NFL, the way refs call penalties and how it's all subjective and there's really no rhyme or reason to throwing a flag unless it's super obvious, right? Like, they can throw a flag on a holding call every play technically if they wanted to, but they don't, and some get called that are egregious, which is great, and some get called when there's no hold there, and that bothers players. Same thing with pass interference, and now especially nowadays roughing the passer, guys feel like, players feel like, we have no idea if it's going to get called if I hit the quarterback, or, you know, like, they, and fans feel the same way. You know, I think that's probably the biggest gripe for fans as well, is the officiating. If I had to take a wild guess, if you were to poll 100 fans, say, hey, what's your biggest gripe with the NFL? And I'm not talking about ticket prices or streaming services with Peacock. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the game that you're watching. What's your biggest gripe? And they would all probably say the inconsistency of officiating. And that's probably the same way that soccer players feel as well, if I had to take a guess.
All right. Well, luckily for us, we do not do extra time on Wilde and Tausch because of the way we manage the clock. The show ends at noon Central Time. We'd be here till like 1:30. So we do not have that, and we don't have as much time as I would love to have with you, since you're kind of like a Cousins mini sub today. Instead of a 3-hour tour, it's a 1-hour gig. We appreciate you stepping into the breach. You're always such a good teammate about that sort of thing. But I do have more things I want to get to with you. I do find it ironic that the same guy who calls you the doctor of football also just rides you about finishing your undergraduate degree at the University of Iowa. I don't understand that. What I do understand is that it's the 4th of July weekend, and Steinhoffel's biggest 4th of July sale is on right now. Get their best prices of the season and amazing closeout bonus buys like a Beauty Queen mattress for just $299 and dining room tables and sofas for just $399. Plus, you'll be able to take an extra $100 off your purchase of $1,999 or more and make your purchase even more affordable with Steinhoffel's 18-month 0% interest financing. Steinhoffel's biggest 4th of July sale is on now. You can shop it in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Brian Bulaga, who we wish we had extra time with, is our mini cousin sub of the day for today. I want to ask him the question that Tausch asked before he left that he had stolen from Rutledge and Hamilton. I will ask Brian that next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Continuing with Brian Bulaga, Iowa, who has taken over for Tausch in our starting lineup for today. Tausch will be back on Monday when we return after the 4th of July weekend. All right, I thought this was not as great of a question as Tausch did, so I'm curious to see, and that's not a shot at Rutledge and Hamilton, they do a great job, but this one's a no-brainer for me anyway. We'll see if it is for you. What are you more intrigued by heading into the Packers season? How much Jordan Love will grow, or how much this defense will develop and grow under new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley?
I mean, both are obvious. I mean, intriguing, but to me, it's the defense. It really is how the defense is gonna look and how they're gonna develop. I mean, we have a good idea about Jordan Love. I don't think last season was a one-off and he just somehow played miraculously the last half of this. Like, I don't think that's the case. I think what he showed is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we want to continue to see that same type of development and production and all that, right? Because if there isn't, then yeah, there's going to be a lot of questions, right? And, you know, not, I wouldn't say doubts, but kind of a lot of like hands up in the air, like what did we see last year to compare to what we see this year? But right. I don't think that's going to be the case. But the unknown of the defense right now and kind of how we don't know if the personnel that we have currently fits the scheme that's being implemented. Now, do I think that we have the guys that can run it? I do. I think we have the pass rushers. I think the linebacker position got better through the draft. I think we added those types of players that fit the scheme. My biggest question, and I've said this multiple times, is secondary. Obviously, went out, got a high-profile safety for a lot of money in free agency. He fits the mold of this defense. Obviously, Jair, he fits the mold of this defense. But the rest of the secondary, I have questions about it, and a lot of people have questions about it, and rightfully so, because we saw guys struggle at times last year in the old scheme. Now, whether that was due to play calling or that's just the type of players we have remains to be seen. We will get a different story of these guys as this season unfolds, but you look at the depth of our secondary, and that's the thing that concerns me the most, because we all know through this season – and every NFL season, injuries happen, and hopefully they're minor ones and guys don't miss a lot of time. But say they do we have the depth to fill in to really complete this defense and make it look right, the way it's supposed to look? And how we've noticed, or not how we've noticed, but how we've seen this defensive scheme implemented in the past with other teams and how it's worked, do we have the depth to get that done if, say, an injury happens or we miss a – you know, well, heck, I don't even say an injury. Say a guy has to come out of the game for a series in a big game, and can that guy slot in and not be noticed, essentially. Not be noticed means
right.
like he just goes with the flow. So I'm all in on the defense. That is a big story to me through this entire train. When training camp starts rolling around and the joint practices start to happen, is how does this defense look? And I know you'll be looking at it because it's a big story.
Well, and look, both of those things are A, critical to this team's success. Jordan Love continuing to play at a high level and continuing to grow, and the defense not sucking. Now, mm-hmm. to what degree it's not going to suck, to me, is what will decide just how far this team goes. Because even if we say, all right, Jordan Love's not going to play at the level that he did in the final eight games, but he'll play at a somewhat approximation of it, right? Because, and, you know, we've brought this up a little bit during the course of the week here. He didn't play well against the Giants. He played okay against Tampa Bay, but that was the same day that the defense was so god-awful that Baker Mayfield had a perfect passer rating inside Lambeau Field. And Jordan Love wasn't exactly perfect in the Carolina game either, right? He played well.
No.
But his aggregate numbers of those final eight regular season games and then the playoff game against the Cowboys and really most of the playoff game against San Francisco were great. So if he plays around that level, and that's who he is, and he sustains that through an entire season with a bad game or two mixed in, and he sustains that over a 10-year career or whatever it ends up being, great. The issue here is, and you know this better than anyone, that people thought Dom Capers was great in 2009, the year before he got here, and 2010. 2010, you guys were a top five defense, and you won the Super Bowl. And then again in 14, after some injuries and some issues, and Clay Matthews moves to inside linebacker and goes to the Pro Bowl there, the second half of that season, you guys defensively were lights out. Like, that was a really yep. good football team on both sides of the ball, which is what makes losing that game to Seattle still one of the most heartbreaking things that have happened. Your 4th and 26, if you will. And so,
yep.
but since that 2014 team, and then, you know, Dom Capers obviously was the defensive coordinator for a few more years after that. But since that time, when have they really had a defense where you're like, boy, these guys are really good? Like, Mike Pettine had his moments. 19, the last team you were on, that Mike Pettine defense with the Smith brothers, pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. Yeah. Certainly not good in the playoff game in which they gave up 7 million rushing yards against the 49ers. But so to me, the most intriguing thing, even more than Jordan Love sustaining his play, is Jeff Hafley finally going to be the guy that figures it out? And I don't know.
And I don't know either because, you know, you mentioned it, like, or you said it perfectly. Like, the last time we saw a great defense in Green Bay was probably 2014, right? Like, that was the last time we saw one. And I don't think anybody is, and obviously we want that, but I don't think anyone's asking to have a top five defense, right? Like, there's categories that you look at throughout a defense that you want to be within the top 10 in the NFL, right? Like, if you're going to have a good team, there's certain categories that you look for defensively that you want to be in. Obviously, points allowed, you want to be in the top 10 in that. Rushing yards allowed, you want to be in the top 10 of that, because those two things kind of go hand in hand. In today's NFL, the passing yards doesn't really matter because you could be winning by three touchdowns and all the other teams are going to do is throw and rack up numbers, and, you know, that's going to happen, right? Like, those types of things, you don't really look in today's NFL, the passing yards allowed, unless you're just getting cut open week after week and QBs are throwing for 350 or 400 yards and four touchdowns and you're losing games, which I don't see that happening with this defense. But I think what people want to see, especially what I want to see, is just back to a defense that you can rely on game in and game out. And one that you know that in an opportunity that they're on the field to win a game, like the Giants game, they're going to come through and win you the game. Like, it can't always just be on the quarterback and on the offense as it's been in Green Bay for so long. Like, I mean, obviously I wasn't here before Aaron, but I would imagine a lot of the times it was always based on what Favre could do, and could Favre, you know, win the game at the end. And I know it was that way with Aaron. Hey, we just got to give Aaron the last possession and he's going to do it. And you don't want to continue that trend and do that to Jordan Love as well, because as good as we think Jordan Love could be, he's not at those guys' level yet, right? Like, he's not at an Aaron Rodgers level. He's not at a Favre level yet. So, like, to be able to sit there as a coaching staff and say, we just got to get Jordan the ball at the end of the game and he'll take care of it, that's putting a lot of heat on him. That's putting a lot of heat on a young offense. You want this team to be as complimentary as possible. Like, and that is – Homer didn't believe me that that's, like, something that gets talked about in team meetings – is like, we got to play complimentary ball today. Like, that's a real thing. And then, like, that's what this team needs most, is for the offense and defense to feed off each other and complement each other. So that's what I'm hoping we see from Halfley's defense, is that obviously an improvement. Like, duh, that's why he was hired, like, for a major improvement. But that the two sides of the ball complement each other. And knowing this scheme, like I've said a million times and gone against it, and know how difficult it is to win against it when the scheme is playing well and the players in it are playing well. If this defense plays the way that I'm hoping they do, this is going to be a tough team to beat this season, because I do feel, as much as I talk about the secondary and how it is key to this thing, like, I've said it a million times, the front seven of this defense is what drives this car. Like, they do. It's all based on the pass rush and how fast they can get home to cover the guys in the back end. And if they can do that, we're going to see some really good things from the Stephens. I know that's Captain Obvious, but that's the way the scheme is built. And that's how it's always been built for all the teams that utilize it.
Like, duh. That is the insight of Brian Bulaga. We will get more of that from him. We'll also draw this week's trivia winner and wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday on a Wednesday, presented by Holman Lindsay Paints. Want to remind you, hey, make sure your money is working for you, and make sure you're doing it with the best bank in the state. They've got all the awards for customer service to prove it. That, of course, is Associated Bank. You can sign up for Packers checking, show your Packers team colors with your Packers debit MasterCard, and a 10% discount at the Packers Pro Shop if you want to pick up a number 75 jersey for whether it's Brian Bulaga or for Sean Ryan. It's up to you. You can also get early pay. So get your paycheck up to 2 days early if you have direct deposit from your employer and you have Associated Bank. And, of course, you get that great customer service as well. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Mark Tauscher here for Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie, the name you can trust. Summer road trips are great. Troubles with your vehicle on those road trips? Not so much. Don't risk waiting until it's too late to resolve an issue with your car. Stop in and trust the fantastic service team at Zimbrick Chevy before you hit the road for a big trip. Zimbrick's service team takes great care of my vehicle anytime I need to bring it in, for serious issues or just for routine maintenance. There is a reason Zimbrick Chevrolet is consistently recognized as a Best of Madison operation. Get a tune-up. Check the battery. Check your tires. Change the oil. Make sure all the inner workings of your vehicle are in tip-top shape so you don't get stranded on the side of the road. Call or click to schedule a service appointment and learn more at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. That's ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie, the name you can trust. Mark Tauscher here to tell you a little bit more about Everlight Solar. We all know that electricity costs are on the rise. That's why you need to talk to my friends over at Everlight Solar. Their local team here in Madison is here to keep it simple. From your no-cost consultation to solar panel installation, the team at Everlight Solar will be with you every step of the way. Not only will they help you save money, but by switching to solar, you're also helping save the planet. Everlight Solar, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Check them out at EverlightSolar.com.
Have you been waiting to buy your next home? Stop. Now is the time to get housed. What's up, Madison? It's Stacy from Bruner Realty. Nobody has a crystal ball to know what the future holds. The longer you wait to find your next home, the better the chance you'll be paying more for it than you would be today. Don't miss out on what could be the best opportunity to find your dream home. Contact our team at BrunerRealtyInc.com to help start your search. That's BrunerRealtyInc.com. Let's get house.
Wow, Wayne, that is a beautiful window.
It sure is, Jeff. It really tackles energy efficiency.
Sure has a nice slide.
It's one of the best screen plays I've ever seen.
They're so easy to close. I'd say it's a grand slam.
If you guys keep making those dad jokes, you're going to be a real pain in my neck.
Oh, that's a good one. Did you hear about this one? Five.
Get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply on 7/1/2024.
Step into nostalgia with the Miller High Life Dive Bar of the Week. Listen to Rutledge and Hamilton every Thursday, and we will let you know where you can enjoy $2 Miller High Lifes. To celebrate our love for dive bars, me and Matt are going to tell you about some of our favorites, featuring one extra special dive bar that will have $2 High Lifes on special for the week. Taste the champagne of beer in its natural environment. A delightfully different dive bar in Wisconsin, like Paul's Neighborhood Bar, the Pub at Pleasant Springs, the Shack Bar and Grill, and the Sundown Saloon.
Mike Greenberg. Green.
This is the time of year where sometimes my allergies can get to me. The inside of my nose itches. We're primarily on the radio, but we have TV cameras aimed at us, and you can watch our show on the ESPN app. And what I really want to do is scratch the inside of my nose. But I'm terrified to do it and get caught on camera doing it, because that is a meme that will live until the end of time.
Greeny. Weekdays noon to 2 on 100.5 ESPN.
Paid family leave?
That prevents child abuse.
And access to health care in every community?
Prevents child abuse, too.
And high-quality, affordable child care?
School breakfast and lunch programs.
Affordable housing for everyone.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
For official rules and more information about every contest on 100.5 ESPN, visit ESPNWisconsinContest.com. That's ESPNWisconsinContest.com. You're listening to 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN app.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
We got to ask Bulaga before we get to any more football about his position on Rocky IV after what we've learned about young Riley Yauch. But Riley, before we do that, let's pull our trivia winner. We only have three contestants this week because of the short week. Have you grabbed the cheese fry helmet? Oh, I hear the sound. Yes, sirree. Pick a winner.
All righty. The winner is... One sec, I got to cue up the drum roll sound effect. Your winner today is... Today's contestant, Eric from Green Bay!
There you go, and then he can buy my swimming pool that I'm going to sell on Facebook Marketplace, and everything will be fine with the world. All right, Brian, you're not as young as Riley. Riley's going to turn 23 next week, and in a big upset... The 1984 cinematic classic, Rocky IV, in which Drago kills Apollo Creed, and then Rocky avenges his friend's death by beating Drago in Russia, is one of the movies that he grew up on because his dad made him watch it right before he and his brother would punch each other. Rocky IV, have you seen it? Is it in your VHS library? Did you watch it as a kid? Where does this come in for you?
Yeah, I love Rocky IV. I mean, to me, it's... I think it's the best one, quite personally. I mean, if I had to... I believe that glove, here it is, over that shoulder. Where am I? I'm camera's reversed. That's from the movie, signed by Sylvester Stallone.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
wow.
It. The USA gloves. Yep. It is... It is my favorite movie of the Rockies, so to speak.
Right.
It is my favorite Rocky movie. It's I mean, I just think everything about it goes to Russia, training in the shed, essentially. I mean, running through the snow. Ivan Drago's taking the steroids and all the fancy equipment that he's doing. And there's Rocky pulling boulders over a farm. You know, I mean, just fantastic movie. I mean, and my, you know, obviously Stallone was always in great shape through these movies. And, you know, obviously he got a little more cut and bigger as the movies went on, but boy was he ripped in Rocky IV, man. He was absolutely yoked, and that was a great movie, just a phenomenal movie.
Wow, I can't believe you have boxing gloves signed by him. Do you also have like Apollo Creed's USA shorts signed by Carl Weathers, and do you wear them when you work out?
Or do you have the robe he wore when he came out to Living in America?
Yeah. No, I don't have it. I don't have anything. Like, this one came up for auction, that something that Abby was at, and she told me, this is from the movie, do you want it? I go, absolutely, yeah, you got to get it. It was at some charity thing. I'm like, yeah, you got to get it. I go, I don't care. I go, pay attention to that silent auction bit. I go, every 5 minutes, walk by it just to make sure we're still at the top of the leaderboard on it. I go, I want that one.
Yo, Abby, we got it.
Exactly. I mean, and I don't know. Like, listen, I thought the Rockies were all good. There was a couple that I didn't like. Like, what was the one? I forgot which one it was, where they, like, he actually goes broke and has to move out of the mansion. And that one was a little bit slower.
Yeah.
That's Tommy Gunn, right? Yeah, Rocky
Right,
five.
Tommy Morrison. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Like, I didn't enjoy that one, right? Like, I think 4 was the pinnacle, right? Like, 4 was the pinnacle of,
and the Creed movies are good.
Collection.
What I've seen, they're good too. They're a good follow up.
Yes, I like the Creeds as well. I think they're good.
All right, Brian. One other Packers related thing before we close up shop with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, coming up, and that is. We talked earlier about Josh Jacobs, and he did a fire prevention thing in Milwaukee the other day that Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated attended and wrote about. He also was on NFL Network talking last night, and I'm intrigued. I'm an Aaron Jones guy. You're an Aaron Jones guy, but I am super intrigued by what Josh Jacobs might bring to this offense. Are you on my team?
Yeah, I am, because, I mean, his body of work speaks for itself, right? Like, we've seen him play with the Raiders and seen what he can do and kind of his play style and how good of a runner he is. And I guess my only question and what I'm intrigued by is how does his skill set and what he was asked to do in the Raiders run scheme, which was more of a downhill duo, double teams all across the board, straight ahead type scheme. How does that translate into LaFleur's zone scheme and kind of what he's asked to do? Because as we saw with Aaron Jones, he was utilized out of the backfield a lot, like a ton. And that was the great thing about Aaron Jones, was that you can motion him out, put him in the slot. He can run routes. He did a lot of different things besides just run the football. And I'm intrigued to see if Jacobs can do the same, if mm-hmm. he can be that very versatile back that they can use in multiple positions and really get defenses guessing. And that's what teams had to do with Aaron Jones on the field. I mean, you could put him and Dylan on the field at the same time, and defenses would have to adjust to that. They'd have to bring in different personnel that would benefit the Packers. And so that's really the thing that I'm interested in. And with that, I'm not sure Green Bay has the type of running back, at least as of right now, has the type of running back that Aaron Jones was. And I don't mean the exact type of player, but a guy that you can do that with, a guy that you can put in mm-hmm. the slot and trust to run routes and beat linebackers one-on-one or safeties or nickelbacks, whoever covers them. I'm not sure we have that guy. Now, I'd love to be proven wrong and have Jacobs or whoever go out there and be that guy. That'd be fantastic. But I think that's the intrigue of Jacobs, besides being just a really good runner, is can he fit the scheme and be a versatile guy within the scheme. And to me, that's what it is with this offense, because that's how they got the most out of Aaron Jones.
Yeah, and he did talk about that yesterday. We're all waiting to see what he can do as a pass catcher out of the backfield, because that's not something that the Raiders did sufficiently with him during his time in Oakland and in Las Vegas. All right, we'll wrap up the Brian Bulaga Hour with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. Want to remind you, and look, again, I hope that you never have to make this call, because it means that you or someone you love has never been seriously injured in an accident. But if you have to make the call, make it one call, that's all. David Gruber, Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints, is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Hey, feeling good, like I should.
All right, we're already late because I wanted to maximize our Brian Bulaga time, but our Feel Good Friday on a Wednesday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints, is about one of the guys that shares the Homer Hour like Brian does with Homer, and that is John Anderson, who had his final SportsCenter last Friday. They did this great retrospective of some of the commercials he was in, and you and I both loved those This Is SportsCenter commercials. They're just such iconic ads, so that was really fun. I tweeted that out, so you can check that out. But our Feel Good Friday is congratulating again John Anderson on a fantastic career at ESPN and on a fledgling career as a cousin sub of the day on Wilde and Tausch and the other things he's got going on at GKB. Speaking of great cousin subs, Brian, I know it was short notice. I know it was just an hour, but hey, man, thanks for stepping in when Tausch had to go coach a baseball team. We really appreciate you.
It's always fun jumping on, and obviously, congratulations to John Anderson. What a iconic guy on, you know, SportsCenter for all those years. I remember, like, the commercials, obviously, but then just you'd turn it on late at night as a kid growing up, and there he would be, John Anderson, you know, going through all the highlights. Just iconic. So congratulations to him on a fantastic career.
And don't even get me started on Wipeout. All right, that's it for us today. We will be back next week. Enjoy your 4th of July. Thanks to Homer. Thanks to Brian Bulaga. And thanks to you. Have a great weekend. Take care. Be good.